Welcome to Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday.
Jaguars Monday. With your host, Jaguars.com senior editor, Vic Ketchman. Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio WOKV is brought to you by Community First Credit Union, Prudential Network Realty, the Jacksonville Transportation Group, Baptist Health, and by Ticket Exchange. Now, here's your host, the always happy, always positive, always effervescent, man of a thousand smiles, Vic Ketchman.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Jaguars Monday. This is an historic Jaguars Monday show, and I'll tell you why. It's the first Jaguars Monday show to ever follow a Jaguars victory.
Let's hope it's not the last.
That's not bad. It's only been 3 weeks. I got to tell you, though, I was worried. I was worried. I was envisioning this show following loss after loss after loss, and I was looking at the schedule, and I was thinking to myself, when will the bleeding end? And I was really concerned that if it went past this past weekend's game, if it had gone past yesterday's game in Houston, you know, I was worried, well, you know, maybe it won't end against Tennessee, and then they have to go to Seattle, and it might not end there. I was thinking that we might have to, you know, go to all the way to St. Louis, which, these shows always do better following a win than they do following a loss. Although loss stimulates callers, it also stimulates a lot of negativity. And, you know, frankly, I'm not going to tell you, folks, that the Jaguars were dominant yesterday. I mean, clearly they gave up a ton of yards. And I think they kind of got lucky on that Chris Brown fumble. There was the replay picture that I saw was fuzzy, and I have a feeling that's why they couldn't, you know, Ron Winter, the referee, couldn't use it because the picture looked fuzzy to me. If he had a sharp picture, the ball was still in Chris Brown's hand. I know that his hand was still making contact with the ball. It may have been moving. That's what we couldn't tell. That's where the picture became inconclusive. But I think the Jaguars caught a break on that because to me, the picture looked out of focus. And so I'm not going to tell you the Jaguars were dominant yesterday, but they were really, really good in the second half.
Did you pay any attention to his knee as well?
Yes, I did. There was a clear shot of the knee and the ball. The problem was the ball looked fuzzy in the hand, so you couldn't tell if it was moving or not. Ron Winter, in my opinion, made the right call in supporting the call he made on the field. But what if the picture had been sharp? That's where the whole thing could have turned south for the Jaguars. Anyhow, I'm going it alone. I'm flying solo again tonight. We did it last week, and with the idea of getting as many calls addressed, talking to as many people as possible, making this your show. We're going to do that again tonight. The phones are starting to light up. We're going to go to them. And I guess the question that I have to lead into tonight's show is, what did we witness yesterday? Did we see, and of course everybody saw it, this was a road game. Did we see a team taking a step to turn the corner or turn one of the many corners? Is this something now that's going to be procedural, up, up, up? Or is it likely that this young team will take steps backward and two steps back, one step forward, two steps forward, three steps back, one step back, three steps forward? Is it going to be like that? So I'm getting your opinion on what your expectations are now that the team has won. And of course, let's focus very, very sharply on this Sunday's game against Tennessee, because we've got something here we can sink our teeth into. The Titans are coming in here 0-3. The Jaguars have a chance to deliver a death blow to the Titans. They once recovered from 0-4. I don't know if you remember this, but it was 2002, and they recovered from 0-4. That's not going to happen a lot. If the Jaguars were to nail them this Sunday, I would consider it until proven otherwise, to be the death blow to the Titans, who went into this season as one of the AFC preseason favorites. And with that, I will go to the phone lines. Joe, I want to do this chronologically. Go to one. Greg from the West Side. How are you, Greg?
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
I'm fine.
Hey, I talked to you last week, the first caller. I just wanted to call in and let you know I was real impressed with what I saw with the Jags this week. I saw today an article about that they released Derek Cox. I was kind of curious if you had any thoughts about
No, they released Kenard Cox.
Oh, okay. That's not number 21 then.
I think Kenard is 26. He's been up and down, up and down. He's a defensive back, which means cornerback slash safety. He's a utility guy. This is pretty much going to be his life in the National Football League. Up and down, up and down. He's good enough to stick, but he's good enough to make a roster, but not stick. And you know, it's not such a bad life. You get a lot of money being on an NFL roster. And eventually he might get a shot and settle in somewhere, and I think the Jaguars have enough interest in him to keep him around and see if he develops, see if he becomes a better player. But Derek Cox, you don't have to worry about the Jaguars cutting him. He's pretty good. In fact, he's real good. In fact, in my opinion, he was the second-best cornerback on the field yesterday. As far as I could tell, he was better than anything the Texans had.
I have one other question for you real quick.
Sure.
There still?
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as the attendance goes, I see a lot of people still, I'm wondering, and I'm not sure what makes this team so prevalent in Jacksonville, but there seems to be this perception of that the Jaguars are going to go in every year and either be in the championship game or in the Super Bowl in order to be this considered a quality product, which I think is highly unreasonable. I don't think the city understands that this is a much higher level of competition and a bigger stage than other things we're used to.
Greg, I would hope that after 15 years that the fans of this team would certainly understand that this is not to be compared to the Gators or the Noles. You're just not going to go to a bowl game every year. You're just not going to be in the national title hunt every year. Let's look at the Steelers, last year's Super Bowl champions. They're 1-2. They are in danger of not making the playoffs. If the Steelers were playing college football, they would have just won their third game against a ridiculously overmatched opponent. So I mean, this is just a completely different thing, and I really do think the football fans, the Jaguars fans in Jacksonville, I think they understand that. I think they've made the distinction between the two. Okay, I'm going to move on, and let's talk to Mike on the South Side, who wants to talk about Coach Del Rio. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Vic, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, first of all, I just want to say I was real excited about the win yesterday, and I thought they played real hard, and looking forward to them getting a win against Tennessee, hopefully. My question is about Jack Del Rio, and I think I've heard you say before that you feel that he's a great talent evaluator.
Yeah, I really do. I think that's his strength.
How come in the 7 years that he's been here, we've never been able to find a dominant pass rusher? I mean, I'm not giving up hope yet on Derek Harvey, but it just seems like we keep putting guys in there, and nothing's materializing. I mean, you watched the Colts last night, and you know, Dwight Freeney is a monster, and I was just wondering, you know, how come they can't find, you know, guys out there to plug in to help us, you know, with our pass rush?
Well, he's the coach, not a scout. He's not in charge of personnel. He has nothing to do with the selection of players on this team. I mean, do you remember the comment Coach Del Rio made? Gene has the con. Gene Smith is in complete control of personnel on this team. That includes the cutting of personnel. That includes signing guys off the street, signing expensive free agents, cheap free agents, drafting players, cutting players, everything. Now, James Harris didn't have, to our knowledge, it was never proclaimed. That proclamation was never made that James Harris had those broad powers. But it is my understanding that he kind of did, and he kind of exercised them. So when it comes to personnel, when it comes to personnel, meaning the players on this team, I think you have to make that, you have to put the responsibility for them in the hands of of the personnel department, and you have to put coaching in the hands of Jack Del Rio. What is done on the field is Jack Del Rio's responsibility. What is done in terms of acquiring and cutting personnel is Gene Smith's. Now, previously, even though it's my understanding that Shaq Harris had those broad powers in personnel, they did not include cutting the roster. That was Jack Del Rio's thing. It's my understanding that he had control of cutting the roster. And frankly, has this team cut anybody that's come back to haunt them? I haven't thought about it, although I think I've thought about it in the past. Has anybody come back to haunt them? I mean, nobody likes Byron Leftwich more than I do, but he, you know, has that decision come back to haunt the Jaguars? Give me one. If you have one, give it to me. But I really believe that the Jack Del Rio is a very good evaluator of talent. When he has players on his team that he can look at over an extended period of time, for instance, a training camp, as he has had in the past when he's had when he's had the responsibility of cutting the roster, he hasn't screwed it up. He's made the right calls. I'm getting the timeout sign, so let's go to a break.
Mike, thanks for the call. You too, Greg. By the way, Sonny, stay on the line. We'll get to you when we come back. You want to talk to Vic? It's real easy to do. 355-NFL1. That's 355-6351. Outside the Jacksonville calling area, 1-800-355-NFL1. And fans, you can vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of the First Down Touchdown Teachers. Just visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. Jaguars Monday continues right after this on News Talk Radio WOKV. All right, gang, here's your chance to score some free Jaguars merchandise. Just make jaguarsearch.com your new online search engine. Every search is a chance to win digital dollars that can be redeemed for great prizes. It's just that easy. Just make jaguarsearch.com your new online search engine. You want to search for Vic Ketchman? That's easy to do, too. 355-NFL1, 355-6351, or 1-800-355-NFL1. Speaking of the con, Vic, the con is yours.
Welcome back, everybody. And I think you know that the rule I have on this show is that if you call, you go on. That's the respect that I'm going to afford you. If you call here, I will get you on.
Unless you call it 5-0.
Yeah, I mean, if you call too late in the show, then we'll tell you. We're not going to waste your time. So if you want to hang on, I'll get to you. Before we return to the phone lines, just a thought or two here I'd like to convey. The Week 3 offense-defense rankings, Jaguars are number 16 in offense. That's not bad. Number 10, tied for 10th in rushing and 19th in passing, considering the first couple of weeks they had, where David Garrard was not at his best and was really under attack by the Colts and the Cardinals, in my opinion, in the pass rush. That's not bad. 16 overall, 10 in rushing, 19 in passing. Defensively, 25th overall, 14 against the run and 31 against the pass. Now, here's the thought I want to convey. I like what I saw from the offense yesterday a lot. I think the offense has turned a corner. I'm not ready to say that about defense. I like the fact that they fought hard in the second half, made some plays, but I still have some major reservations about defense, especially up front, and that's where my concern is, because I think Tennessee, which despite their 0-3 record, they are sixth in rushing and number two against the run, and that's a combination that could be problematic for the Jaguars. I don't know how the Jaguars are going to be able to stop Tennessee's rushing game. on Sunday. And with that, let's go to Daniel on the north side who wants to talk about Tennessee. Number one, Joe, Daniel. Good evening, Daniel.
Well, yeah, Vic, you kind of just answered my first question. I was going to ask how we match up against Tennessee, but the stats right there kind of tell the story.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask my second question and take it off air. There was a lot to be made in the pregame show about them switching around the secondary, and it looked like Gerald Alexander got a shot at strong safety when Considine went down with an injury. And how did he look? I'll take the answer off the air, okay?
Yeah, you know, that's Jeff Loggeman's better with that stuff. Sean Considine got hurt, and then we saw Gerald Alexander and Brian Russell play, along with Reggie Nelson. And I don't know if I'm qualified as Jeff to tell you all the cover two, cover three stuff. In fact, I know I'm not, so I'm not going to do it. But nobody jumps out at me at safety from yesterday's game. I'm still not crazy about what I see. I see a lot of running around, and I don't see a lot of plays being made. I'm looking at the stats right here. Okay, here we go. Reggie Nelson, 4 tackles, 1 pass defensed. That was his contribution for the day. No tackles for loss, no sacks, no interceptions. A pass defensed. For a free safety, that's not good enough, in my opinion. Gerald Alexander, 3 tackles and all zeros across the board after that. And Brian Russell, 1 tackle and zeros across the board. Good heavens. Sean Considine got 2 tackles in before he went out real early with, was that a groin strain? And he, by the way, is very unlikely, if I'm reading the tea leaves correctly, to play this Sunday. So when you look at those numbers, those aren't the numbers you want from a safety. You want numbers. You want tackles and tackles for loss and sacks, a sack or two from your secondary and an interception and 4 or 5 passes defensed and a forced fumble and a forced fumble recovery. That's the kind of stuff you want. And I don't see any of that from the safeties. I think that's a very challenged position, challenged two positions for the Jaguars. Does that satisfy you? Caller's gone? Okay. Let's go to who's next? Mike on the west side? Mike on the west side. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, good evening, Vic. I got to take you to task here. You were saying Jeff's a great talent evaluator. I need you to pee in a cup for me because I'm pretty sure you're smoking something when you're off air here.
I'm going to have a cigar tonight.
Wasn't Byron Jack's guy? Didn't he pick him and
no, you see, were you listening when I talked to the first caller?
Yeah, I was listening.
James Harris had broad powers.
Okay, so Jack had nothing to say with any of with Matt Jones, with Reggie Williams, with Mercedes Stone.
You're still not listening. He had broad powers. They are his responsibility. See, we were given this stuff about this 3-pronged. Evaluation and blah, you know, and that was all nice. That sounded good, but the bottom line was, I can remember this moment where it was Vito Stellino and I. We were interviewing Wayne Weaver, and Vito kept holding his hands to the fire. But what if they can't agree? What if they can't agree? And finally, Wayne said, "Well, then, if they can't agree, the final decision is James Harris." Hey, he got fired. He got fired. Why do you think he got fired? He got fired because he was the guy who was being held accountable. He was the guy who was culpable for horrible, horrible personnel decisions that were made. And let's just look at last year's. They spent $25 million on Jerry Porter, Drayton Florence, and Cleo Lemon. They're all gone a year later. And then a month later in the draft, they have 11 picks. They come out with 5 guys, and 3 of them are gone. That's another $20 million. Spent on 2 players, Derek Harvey and Quentin Groves. James Harris took the responsibility. Those personnel decisions were his responsibility. Under James Harris, it's my understanding that Jack Del Rio was responsible for cutting the roster. Now tell me where he made an error in cutting a player. That's what I'm asking. You give me one of those.
Marcus Stroud.
First of all, he wasn't cut. He was traded. Number 2, I stand by that decision. The problem is they used all those picks they got for, they traded all those picks they got for Marcus away for one guy. And he was selected by James Harris, and he's not giving them much in return. They traded away an older player on a bad leg in Terrence Knight, and right now is a better player than Marcus Stroud.
You see the game yesterday for Buffalo?
No, obviously I didn't. I was in the air.
Yeah. How about Mike Peterson? He's still got some football.
Yeah, now, see, now,
we gave him away.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, there you've got an argument. But you see, I think you know what that's all about, too. Mike Peterson wasn't cut. First of all, he wasn't cut. He was a free agent. Was he? His contract expired, all right? So he was not cut. That was a, hey, look, we could go on and on and on about this. Hold, I have no doubt you're going to stick to your guns. I promise you I'm going to stick to mine. Let's go to a break.
Victor, you're my hero. You know that?
I should not be.
you want to get in on this 355-NFL1? And fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, foods, drinks, and a whole lot more. Just stop by Gate today. Jaguars Monday continues right after this on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Welcome back. This portion of Jaguars Monday is brought to you by Best Buy. Remember to stop by the new Best Buy in the St. John's Town Center. Victor, got calls from all over. Yeah. St. Augustine, Arlington, Keystone Heights, Ponte Vedra, and the former home of the Expos. So it's all yours.
Montreal.
Here you go.
Montreal. Parc Jarry.
Yeah. With, you,
the
with
Grand
swimming pool.
Orange. Do you know who the Grand Orange was?
You want me to tell you?
Yes.
Rusty Staub.
You got it. Yeah, the swimming pool out right field. Home runs were going to the swimming pool.
Yeah. That was red hair, I take it, right?
Yeah.
Rusty's,
yeah orange, which is orange in the way we say it, is...
Big orange.
No, it's not red. Rouge, R-O-U-G-E in French, is red. And
right.
orange is orange. So I guess they call him the orange head. It doesn't make much sense. I took 3 years of French in high school. And I only know, really know a few words. And the one word I know best is fromage.
Cheese.
Cheese. Mm. I don't know why. I don't know why I remember that one, but it's the one I remember. Anyhow.
C'est dommage.
Let's go to Josh in Arlington, who wants to talk about the punters. Good evening, Josh.
Good, Vic.
How are you?
All right, I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
Kind of a dual questions, not only about Podlish, how he's consistently inconsistent, but then also I have a second question I'll ask once you get done with that.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Just wondering, like, what do you think of Podlish?
Okay. First two games of the year, I thought he was great. I thought he was consistent for one of the few times in his career. And you are right. His inconsistency is the thing that's threatening his longevity with the Jaguars. You can't have games as he had yesterday. Let me look at the stats. His performance yesterday, but I know out of the box he was not good. Yeah, he had just three punts, and he averaged 35.3. That's gross. And his net was 31.0, with a long of 38. And that's bad punting. He's got to have a better game than that all the time and every time. I think he knows that. I really don't think there's much to do here. Because it's beating a dead horse. The first two games, his performance in the first two games was good enough. His performance yesterday was not. If he kicks as he did in the first two games, every game, he's fine. If he kicks as he did yesterday too often, he'll probably be gone. I really think that's black and white there. What's your other question?
Just going back to how you were talking earlier about Derek Harvey, with what was it, like four or five picks we traded up to get him?
Yeah, they traded, let's see, I know a couple threes. I think it was two threes and a four.
Okay. When do you think
and of course, they're one. They're one. They're one. It was either one, a three and a four, or one, two threes and a four, something like that.
And then all the money we had to pay him, when do you think he's going to live up to it? I mean, he's only had 3.5 sacks his career, which is not great, but it's not bad.
No, it's not. No. It's bad. It's bad. It's bad. Let's not try to whitewash this. Right now, he is beneath the expectation bar. Now, do you remember when Reggie Williams was beneath the expectation bar, and we said, you got to give him time, got to give him time. Okay, we got to give him time. But I'm not going to try to disguise the fact that even though I'm giving him time, he currently is beneath my expectation bar. You can't pay that kind of money and not get production for two consecutive years. I don't know what's going to happen there. I think there is grave concern there. He may have been overdrafted, grossly overdrafted, and that's a problem, because when you overdraft a guy, especially in the top 10, you take a big, big financial hit. That is the culpability, that is the responsibility that the previous personnel administration, headed by James Harris, has to accept. Gene Smith, of course, is resting right now on this draft class, and he's got a pretty good head start on favorable reviews. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. Thanks, Vic.
Sure. Let's go to Steve in St. Augustine, who wants to talk about the officials. Good evening, Steve.
Good evening, Vic. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. I was watching the game yesterday, and this isn't just yesterday's game, but several of the games with these new rules that the officials have in regards to hitting the quarterback high, low, or indifferent.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand where they're coming. How is a guy supposed to stop in midair from hitting a quarterback, and he throws the ball, and then they get a penalty flag?
I think, Steve, it's to the point now of, yes, ridiculousness. But the league is sending a message, and they've been sending this message for a long, long time. And the message is the quarterback will be protected. It doesn't matter whether it's just or not. He will be protected. Now, yesterday, we got a perfect example of what the league wants in the way of hitting the quarterback after or as he's throwing the ball. I forget who it was for the Texans, but somebody hit David Garrard real, real hard just after he released the ball. But he hit him. It was a right shoulder job to the midsection. And he drove through him. He drove him to the ground. But he didn't go anywhere near the head, and he didn't go anywhere near the knees. He stayed in the midsection. And I think as long as you stay in the midsection, you're going to be fine. Just stay away from the head and stay away from the knees. As long as you do that, as I said, I think the officials are going to give you a cushion. They're going to be understanding.
Well, I sure hope there's some continuity as they move forward, because every time I watched a different game, I saw different calls that before would have never been penalties that cost teams position.
Yeah, I'm trying to look at the play-by-play at who that guy might have been. It might have been D'Amico Ryans. It might have been him, or it might have been Brian Cushing. I thought it was a linebacker, a 50s guy. Or it could have been this Dials guy who's 54. I'm pretty sure it was one of the Texans linebackers, and he crashed hard into David Garrard's midsection with his right shoulder just after David released the pass, and the official never put his right hand toward his back pocket. So I think as long as you stay at the midsection, you're going to be okay. Let's go to another caller. Let's go to Trevor in Montreal, California. California, Joe, it's not. Oh, it is Canada? Well, CA is California. Should have put Montreal, about Quebec. Uh-huh, see?
What's the abbreviation of Canada?
I don't know. Quebec, what's the abbreviation of Canada, Trevor?
CA.
Yeah, okay. Okay.
Thank you, Trevor.
Trevor, thanks for your question tonight. Let's go do what do you got, buddy?
I just wanted to say that I thought the offensive line played great. Big improvement in the first 2 weeks. And a really solid game by Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah. The guy who's getting lost in this is Maurice Williams, Mo Williams. And I think this is intriguing. So let me paint this picture for you. Mo Williams is the guy who lost his job after the 2006 season when the Jaguars decided he wasn't good enough and they signed Tony Pachos. $10 million they gave Tony Pachos, and they pushed Mo Williams aside. Now, here we are 3 years later, and frankly, I think it was a mistake. I think the guy they needed at right tackle was the guy they had. If you might remember that Mo Williams was coming off. He was a one-arm player late in that season. Actually, he was a one-arm player almost that whole season. He got a neck injury early in the year against Baltimore. He got the stinger down the arm. And when you get these nerve damage situations, you lose strength in the arm. And he was a one-arm player all year. And in the playoff game in New England, Willie McGinnis kicked his butt. I mean, he made Mo look bad. And the Jaguars decided they didn't give, in my opinion, enough consideration to that arm injury, to that neck injury that caused the weak arm. And they decided Mo wasn't good enough. They went out and got Tony Pashos in free agency, spent $10 million on him. And this year, what did they do? They cut him. So, I mean, that $10 million, as far as I'm concerned, a significant portion of it was wasted because Tony did not play anywhere near up to standard last year. He had a bad year. Mo Williams could have certainly played as well as Tony Pashos did last year. Mo Williams goes to right tackle, replacing Evan Britton yesterday for the second half. And Mo Williams was outstanding. He was outstanding. That's not to say that Evan Britton should be benched. He should not be benched. He's a rookie learning his position, and he should remain the starter. But he has I think his knee's tweaked a little now, and he could miss some time. Well, we're not sure about that, but he could miss some time. If he does, Mo Williams will handle the position very nicely.
Okay.
Okay.
The other thing, Vic, just quickly, was is Terrence Knighton a serious injury or?
It was an ankle injury late in the first half, and frankly, when he left, he went right out through the tunnel and into the locker room. Man, it didn't look good. He had a guy under each arm, helping him off, and it didn't look good at all. I thought it was his knee as he left. And then I found out in the second half it was his ankle. He came back and he played more monster football. I mean, I don't know what wonder drug he got at halftime, but I want some. And Terrence Knighton, ladies and gentlemen, is a beast. This is exactly what you need if you are making the transition to a 3-4 defense. He is a better football player right now than Marcus Stroud. With that, let's go to the break.
That's all Gene Smith, too, right?
He picked him.
How about that? Fans enter to win $50,000 towards your new home with Prudential Network Realty's Take It to the House drawing. One winner will be chosen from each home game. And you and a guest could win tickets, a parking pass, and a chance to win $50,000. Just log on to PrudentialNetworkRealty.com for all the details. Vic will be back right here on Jaguars Monday on News Talk Radio, WOKV. Jaguars fans, the Jaguars Rewards Program is your ticket to discounts and savings from a variety of merchants. All around the greater Jacksonville area, you can save on things like Jags gear and money-saving offers at your favorite restaurants and a lot more. Just visit Jaguars.com/rewards for more information. Victor, there's John, Kevin, and then Claire is also on the line. She wants to talk about a play from yesterday that I'm still running in my head. It was great.
We're in the fourth quarter of Jaguars Monday. We've got to pick up the tempo now. Claire, how
yes.
are you? How are you, Claire?
I'm fine. How about you?
Couldn't be better.
Good.
What's on your cranium?
Well, my comment is about the play, and I do not remember which portion of the game it was in. But it was a play in which Maurice Jones-Drew ran into the line.
Mm-hmm.
He looked to be totally stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, the offensive line got around him, and the whole pile just kept moving forward.
Right.
And I think they made, what,
five yards? It's called moving the pile.
It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it exemplified the effort of the day. It was wonderful and showed team and determination that we haven't seen for a while. It was terrific.
Mm-hmm. You see, what you saw is the symbol of what is wrong with the Houston Texans. They are soft. They are soft, soft, soft. They are today number 30 against the run. I'm sorry, 30th in rushing, and still dead last in the league against the run, number 32. This is what's wrong with the Houston Texans. They can't run it, although they did run it yesterday, and that has me concerned. 111 yards rushing against the Jaguars, a team that doesn't run the ball well at all. Went into the game dead last in the league, and that concerns me. But the Texans remain dead last in the league against the run. If I was the coach of that team, I would run them until their tongues fall out. I would punish them. I to allow that embarrassment of a scrum. You cannot allow a scrum on a professional football field. That was embarrassing. In fact, I'll tell you what, the game turned there. That's the kind, you know, this is, football is a king of the hill game. This is definitely a king of the hill game. The big man wins. The tougher guy wins. The more physical guy wins. That game turned on that play. The Jaguars at that point became king of the hill. Claire, you're very observant, but I got to get you out of here so I can get a couple more guys on. You mind?
You know, I'd like to see more of that. It was terrific.
Maybe you will. Thanks, Claire. Let's talk to John in Keystone Heights. Hi, John.
Hey, Vic. You answered the injury report part that I wanted to know about. The other part was an interview with Brian. I can't remember if it was on TV or the radio, but he kind of alluded that maybe we were going to see some more stuff that they, you know, because of the young players implementing plays was going to take a little more time. Do you kind of see that? Because I've seen a little more than I
don't know what
seen.
You mean.
Pardon?
I don't know what you mean.
As far as...
trick plays? You talking about trick plays?
Well, the trick plays, but also it just seemed like the team, the defense, switching back and forth a little more. It just seemed like there was a little more, you know.
John, plays aren't your problem. Players are. They, in my opinion, as I said, I like what I saw on offense. I think they time will take care of the problem on offense, but I think on defense they need time and players. One more call before we close this show, and that's Kevin in Mandarin, who wants to talk about defense. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, Vic. I'm not a 3-4 guy or a 4-3 guy. I'm a just win, baby, win guy.
Mm-hmm.
But with this guy they picked up today from St. Louis's practice squad,
mm-hmm.
Julius Williams, Quentin Groves playing outside backer, Terrence Knighton looks like he can play nose. They got the stable of linebackers going on now that are quick, athletic guys. Are we seeing the beginnings of a full-time switch to 3-4, do you think? Or
Not with these guys. I think there's a chance that the Jaguars in this coming offseason will commit to the 3-4.
That's what I'm wondering.
But you're going to – these aren't the guys. These are Band-Aids. These are stopgap guys. I'm not saying all of them are. But there's a lot of similarity to 2003 right now. Do you remember in 2003? This was a revolving door for the first 8 to 9 weeks of the season. Every Monday, every Tuesday was two in and three out. And, you know, I mean, it was bad. It was a revolving door. Well, we're seeing some of that right now. But when this season ends and they go into free agency and they go into the draft, you know, then we're going to find out what the answer to that question is. If they start drafting defensive ends that are 6'3",
290 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, if they start drafting ends that are tackles,
right.
If they start drafting tackles that should be mounds of dirt, you know what I mean?
Right.
Then you're going to the 3-4. If they start drafting linebackers who are rangy, run guy, you know, fast, rangy, and speedy guys, then you're going to, if they draft a lot of linebackers, then you're going to the 3-4. That may happen. But I don't let this revolving door influence you one way or the other.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hey, we have reached the end, Joe.
It's over.
Of another
it's
Jaguars.
A good one. That was fast.
I think the callers are fantastic. We got some spice in there. We got a lot of topics in there. The Jaguars got their first win in there. And, you know, I think there's a lot of energy. I have a lot of excitement for Sunday, Tennessee. I mean, this is – I know I'm manufacturing a little bit because, you know, the expectation is that this season is not going to lead anywhere special. But I think we got a little specialness coming up Sunday. If this team was to somehow upset Tennessee – they would be 2-2, and the Titans would be 0-4.
Nothing
and
better.
It would be extraordinary.
And it wouldn't be another home game for Jeff Fisher.
I saw the Titans in the opener of the year, and they looked powerful. And I don't know what's happened there. But anyhow, I'll say goodbye.
Don't forget tomorrow night, Jack Del Rio Show right here on WOKV. And then Wednesday, Vic is back for Jaguars This Week with Brian and Jeff. Good night, everybody. We'll be right back.
You've been listening to Jaguars Monday with Vic Ketchman, brought to you by Prudential Network Realty. This is AM 690 and 106.5 FM. News Talk Radio, WOKV.